Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. And we're going to read the scriptures here. And there's going to be so many stops. It's going to be like I'm a taxi, okay? So we're going to stop everywhere and pick up some people and then drop off some and pick up some more and drop off some, okay? As long as I get my fare, that's all I care. Okay, so let's go ahead. Let's roll with it, Mr. Charles.
For the wrath of
Bring him up strong.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness
Bring them strong.
And unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness.
Okay, I got to stop there because the Lord stopped me and said, what are some of the ways, it just was in my spirit, that the truth is suppressed in unrighteousness? In fact, I want to read this out of the Amplified and another translation also. Now, we're gonna make progress, but the thing is that we got to get this because in all you're getting, the Bible says get understanding. And there are so many people that go to church and walk away and don't understand a thing they heard. So we want to walk away from here understanding. Now, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Let me go ahead and get my bifocals over there. If they're there, I'll wear yours. Okay, there we go. Look at what it says. It says, now this is the Amplified, the classic Amplified. The Spirit of the Lord said, go to the Amplified and teach from there also. It says, for God's holy wrath and indignation. To me, it's like God's disgusted. His holy wrath, in other words, he has a right to have wrath or anger. His holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness repress or you could say depress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. Now think about this because the Lord said, so how does this happen? What we read in the New King James Version, or I have the King James tonight, but how can we be holding the truth in unrighteousness? What happens with that? You know, when people give other things the glory instead of giving God, they're withholding the righteousness, the truth about God. When people act as if what is happening is an act of God, they make God look like he caused the tornado. That is not an act of God, even though the insurance companies use that.
They use that where
it's an act of God. It's not an act of God. God didn't create the tornado. We have an enemy on this earth. And see, I was saying it Sunday, he's not done fighting, even though we've already won.
And he comes to steal, kill, and what?
Destroy. That's true.
So that can't be God.
Yeah, and it is not God. And so we have to realize when we're dealing with these things, we're dealing with repressing the truth of God's goodness. Because God is good. He's not the one that's sending the tornado. Now, he may allow it. You got to understand there's the causative will of God and there's the permissive will of God. The permissive will of God will allow some things to happen. God has a permissive will where he will allow the enemy to challenge you. But then he'll use that challenge for your good.
And there's sometimes we're the ones saying things.
Right.
And we're just,
we're
death and life is
too.
In the power of the
we're
tongue.
Get to
so
that
we're
too.
Reaping what we're sowing.
Right.
What are we sowing with our words?
Right.
Our words are it's a, you know, the word of God is a seed. And so okay. What we say, it really we're throwing seeds out there.
Let me get four men up here right now. Just come on up. Just any four or five. I don't care. Four or five. Come on. Come on, brothers. Come on. Come on up. Come on up. I don't care if it's six or 10. Okay. Now I want to show you what happens when you say stupid stuff. Okay. Now I want you all to make a circle around me, okay? Go ahead, close the circle, make sure. Now, in protecting a principle, they call it diamond. Okay, you step out and you step back. You stay there, okay, and you step back. No, no, you're a corner. Okay. Go ahead. You step back. One, two. I need four.
Do
one,
you
two,
need
three,
some
four.
More men?
No, I don't. Okay. One, two, three. Do I have four here?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, you're going to lead. Okay? And I'm trying to show you this. When you might not see it this pronounced, but when a principal, say it's a very high dignitary or whatever, is walking through, this is, they call it showing diamond. This is basically how they are entouraged through. Okay, go ahead and take the steps down this way. All of you, you're going to follow me to the side. And what you're doing is as we go along, you can't get to the principal. And the reason is because, switch places with me, because if somebody comes here, you move them out that way. Somebody comes to him, he's going to move them to me, I'm going to move them out. Turn around, let's go this way. Now it's your turn. We're going this way, all right? And then so he is leading, I'm going back into the middle, and so I'm protected. Now this is how you are protected by God. God is watching over you. He is protecting you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have an assignment of angels. Now, Cole, get around again. Get around again. Let's get in this circle again. Come on, protect the principal, because you are the principal. You are the dignitary. You are the ambassador.
Yeah, that's right. We are.
Come on now. I'm talking about majestic stuff. Because
yep.
We live, God has been having me deal with the word majestic, because there, we live in a majestic life. Not when you just get into heaven, because you're going to have to be shocked if you get up there and then all of a sudden start trying to be majestic when you weren't down here. You got to learn how to be able to live in this kingdom now. So if I was to use the wrong words, like, I know I'm not going to make it. Somebody's coming after me and I know they're going to get me. Step away. All of you, step away. Get out of here. Just step away.
Watch out.
I'm by myself.
My
words cause the angels, who only work by commands, to move back. They only work by commands. So you have to spice your conversation with the word. If you do not, you will be saying stupid stuff, and the angels say, they step back. Now, when you step back, guess who's coming in? Slewfoot and all of his gang is coming in to attack you, because he knows you have no cover. And so you have to understand, your words, death and life, are in the power of the tongue. You shall have whatever you say. This is real in the kingdom.
Yes.
And it's like royalty. The king, when he says something, he can't just say anything. Whatever he says, it's being scribed down, and it is a decree. That's why you hear me sometimes when I'm going to come against demonic forces or cancer or whatever, I say, I decree you. In Jesus' name, I call you healed in the name of Jesus. And I decree it done now. And to me, it's over. Because whatever way that God showed me to come against that thing, to cancel that, to rebuke or to curse that cancer or whatever it is, my words are his words. Your words are his words. But see, if you still want to play in the sandbox and act like you still all just trying to make it, you are going to mess yourself up. Because first of all, your angel's going to step away. Because they only operate by commands, the word of God. If you don't put the word of God in your mouth and you're just a silly talking person, you're going to find out you're going to mess yourself up. And see, some people start the right way, but they leave it. They fall away from the things that they're supposed to do. You want to stay strong in the things of God. Did you hear what I just said? So don't let the enemy start discouraging you, because the words that you speak cause your future to be the way that it's going to be. Now, when the enemy, now if you know, go back around me again, you know you're protected. And the enemy, somehow he gets in. You know that, first of all, that's not God. And next of all, you know that it's not because of something stupid you did. You're certainly not asking for the sickness or disease. You know, that's why I say, I don't want to hear what you are. I want to hear what you believe.
Amen.
I'm sick. Well, we all know that. You look a little sick. Okay? And we're working on that. But, you know, what you need to say what you believe. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I believe I'm healed. Now, you're not. Don't lie and say, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. You're not healed. But what do you believe? I believe I receive my healing.
Right.
So when you walk, you got to see this. When I'm flying airplanes, shoot, I know the angels in front of me, clearing out the way. You know, I know, because, you know, all kinds of things can happen. We saw that with New York. Okay, a fire truck could be in front of you. I mean, you don't know what's going to be out there. And God has to protect you. And you're on that plane. You need to order your angels to be in front of that plane. I don't care if it's full of demons, but you're the dignitary. You got to ask God to send them angels to be with you and to be able to guide you. They are here as ministering spirits to minister to you because you are heirs of salvation. That is their job. They have nothing else to do but to be able to help you on this earth. That's what they're supposed to do. And as they help you, the child of God, they're helping God. Come on, give these men a good hand. Yeah, I could use your help. I'll be going somewhere tomorrow. Y'all available? Is that asking too much? Oh, y'all work. Okay, never mind.
I think, you know, you said something about the angels, and here it is in Hebrews. Let me give you scripture to what Pastor Shorter just said. The angels are there to minister to us, and this is in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 14. It says, are they not all, say all,
this is speaking of
ministering
angels.
Spirits, speaking of angels, sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. Are you saved?
Are you inheriting salvation?
Okay.
It'll be finalized when Jesus comes, and we all go with him. But right now, we are inheriting salvation. We have a down payment on it. God's got a down payment on us already. It's the seal that is upon us by the Holy Spirit. Every believer is sealed as if they got a... that's why I won't say that because it'll make somebody feel funny. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, that's why I don't let any seals come on me. Mm-hmm. I want God's seal. I ain't going to no seal shop, okay? I'll just say that. I ain't going to say the word. Because I'm not trying to condemn anybody.
Yeah. Because, and some people got all that when they wasn't Christian. But,
that's true.
But
you can be able to ask God to help you get rid of them.
I was trying to find that scripture that went along with
Which
that,
one?
Too. Not this one, but the
Which
other one?
One,
where the angels, they heed the word of God. Because it's some death and life. We always quote that one, but I wanted to just show you, because I know we have a lot of new believers or people that hasn't heard the
See,
word
a lot
of faith.
Of us don't, we and, don't think this supernatural.
Yeah. Well, that's because we haven't been taught. I mean, I remember when we was in our denominational church, we just wasn't taught these things. Mm-hmm. And so I remember when I found out I was adopted at 18, I got mad at God. I thought God was the one that put a curse on me and all that kind of stuff. And if I was taught, if I had been taught that it was the devil that was a part of my... really how I was conceived, that wasn't God,
right?
You know, in that relationship and stuff. So it was the enemy, the flesh working and all that. And the enemy tried to use that to discourage me in my life. And I didn't know his tricks. And so I didn't have anything to fight with. And that's why I'm so adamant about learning, you know, teaching the word of God. We are.
Right.
To teach the truth to the people.
Right. Because you can see God's anger comes down from heaven because people lie about God. Yeah, I ain't got time to lie to you. I'm going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but truth, and God's going to help me.
And I remember the Lord told me that one time, why are they trying to change me?
Yeah.
By changing the word. When we try to change the word, then we're trying to change God. Because he said, my word, they're settled in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're trying to get our own opinions about the Bible and lifestyle issues like we have in this country, and we're saying, oh, that's okay, God loves, you know. No, we're trying to change God. Say, God, we want you to fit into our mold and not us. He's the potter. We're the clay.
Right.
So we should be shaped by him. Did you ever find that scripture?
I'm looking.
Okay. Well, Psalm what? Okay, we'll take that. Let's see. Here, why don't you, can you read it?
Go ahead.
Get it up there. Psalms 103 what? What is it? 20. Put one of some. Okay. We'll see if that's it.
Let's go for it.
Psalms 103:20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. So your angels are released when you speak the word of God, and God said, my word will not return back
to me. So when you do not say the word, But see, and some of us, we just do silly stuff. I love to laugh. I laugh all the time. My wife and I, I always coming up with something. So, but it's fun, and it's just part of my personality.
Well,
my mom and my
like
dad
medicine.
Both were sort of just fun people.
Your mom was definitely.
She was a kick.
She was hilarious.
Well, I'll tell you, that lady was something. So, but you can get to the point where you're talking foolish.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, where you're just foolish like jesting, the Bible, yeah. as the Bible called, or mm-hmm. gesturing, whatever.
Yeah, gesturing.
That you like the court clown, you know what I mean, in the king's court. Mm. And so you don't want to be that. You got to get serious with the word sometimes.
Yes, that's
and really
right.
put that word out there and mean what you say and say mm-hmm. what you mean, because you got to use your faith. You have to practice this thing. So it's important to do that. Let's look at this scripture. Everybody go to that one again and yeah. mark it in your Bible. Psalms 103, verse
Thank
20.
You for
Thank
that.
You very much.
We're looking up.
Appreciate
yep.
that. Mm-hmm. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength. Now, first of all, when you have angels around you, like I had those men around me, come on now. Because your angels are not 5'3 or 5'7 like these guys. No, I'm just kidding. But anyhow, they're not 5'3. You know, your angels, you know, 9 foot tall angels, fire in their eyes, buffed. They've been to LA Fitness all week. Okay. Waiting to take care of you. Okay. They're not weak. They excel in strength, who do his word. They do nothing but his word. They do things that line up with his word. So when you get out of his word, you know, you can watch this with people. People sometimes have lived a good, strong Christian life, and then they start sliding.
Yeah.
Sliding on the word. And all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at their life, and they ain't the same. They ain't the same kind of people. It's like, what's wrong with you? Because you've gone away from the word, yeah. and God's angels, now this is just one part of it, but God's angels can't do what they used to do with you to help you. And so we have to stay in his word, and we have to put the word in our mouths and speak that word so that the angels will have the commands of what to do, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Now, go to the Amplified. Let's see what it says there, okay? Because this is important stuff, all right? The Amplified says, bless the Lord, you his angels. So we know that's all correct because this is closest to the Hebrew text. It says, you mighty ones who do his commandments, obeying the voice of his word. I'll rest my case. So you can cry, you can whine, you can roll on the floor, you can do whatever you want. He is waiting for you to use the word, the angels are, before they do anything. So you got to use the word because that's going to employ your angels. Your angels will stay unemployed until you use the word. And see, you got to use the word when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. When it looks like it's working, when it doesn't look like it's working. You got to use the word all the time. And that's why we check each other. You know, we're almost to the point where we don't have to check very much because we ain't that stupid. So, you know, we've checked each other for years. I say something stupid, she'll say, okay, sure. I'm believing 100% for that for you. I'm like, shut up. Don't be agreeing with that.
No, I usually say, no, I don't want that.
You know, so we go back and forth to keep each other on the up and up concerning those areas. You want to make sure, because this is not some kind of superstition, baloney, crazy stuff. This is the word of God.
That's why we're showing you scriptures, so you can go read it for yourself.
And see, some people want to be more fleshly and secular, and you don't need to do all that. Yes, you do. If you want the victory that God has for you. And people look at their own carnal or material life and think, well, I don't need that because I'm dealing with the material. I was looking at the clouds today, and I was thinking, I was saying, man, people don't even know how far they're going to go away from this earth. when you die, you are not going to be sitting around here. I'm talking about those of you that's going to the holding place, if there's any in here. You are going, so you have zero control of what's happening. When you leave this body, you don't know what in the world's happening, literally in the world, because you ain't even on this world no more. You ain't just suspended in space just here from that standpoint. Over the course of time, you will not just be here on this earth. There's other places, and you don't control that.
Yeah, and the world, they call it positive thinking.
Oh, yeah.
See, and so the world labels it that because they don't want to use the word of God.
Right.
And then psychologists... And in the, what happened was, and this is years ago, but they start seeing good results from Christian
right.
counselors
right.
and psychologists.
Right.
And so they're saying,
and
hey,
rare.
What? Yeah, they noticed how they were getting better results than mm-hmm. than the secular psychologists. They were noticing that what the Christians were right. doing. And so years later, they start calling. They had another side of their counseling or their way of thinking, and they start calling it positive psychology instead of. But the Christians were using the Word of God and lacing right. with the in between the scientific stuff, you know. And so, but they start calling it. They had to think of something. What can we do? So they start calling
call it
positive psychology.
Right.
You know, and so, but see, we're using the Word of God.
Right.
Yeah, and the Word of God is positive, but we're using the Word of God. So it's not mind over matter and trying to ascend to this thought of goodwill and all that. We're using God's Word, and God said, my Word will not return back to me void.
Right. Right.
And so we have to put the Word of God in our mouth and let it come out, and He backs up His Word.
That's right.
Come on, it's like you as a parent. You tell your kids, hey, I'm going to buy you a new bicycle. You need to go buy that bicycle.
That's
because
right.
if not, you're gonna be a liar to that child.
They're not
going to
trust you.
And so your word, years ago.
Your word
was your bond.
Bond.
You used to buy
people
you know,
trying to
flowers
go back.
And
trying
sugar
to go back.
Just by your word. And my mom used to tell me that when she used to go to the store. All she had to do is go down to the little country store and get some flour and sugar, say I don't have money today, but I'll pay you next week. And it was like Thelma, my mother's name was Thelma. Thelma, I know, you know, and
just get what you need.
Yeah, just get what you need. And your word was like that.
Right.
Now we have to have 5 pages, 10 pages of contract and you know, writings that you hate to read and you don't and you sign it and you don't know what you sign. And because of our world has gone so far where your word means nothing. And see, sometimes Christians have a problem with that because their word doesn't mean anything.
Right.
They'll sign up and say, I'll be there. I'm going to usher. I'm going to sing in the choir. And they don't show up. They don't call anyone to let them know. And it's like, you know, if your name is Johnny here, forgive me. But Johnny's name, he's going to help with the Easter egg hunt. No, he's not, because he signs his name to everything. And he don't even show up. And you start getting known for that. You're labeled for that. And so what I'm saying is, and so we reduce God down to that level to say, oh, it's just, you know, it's just the Bible.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean anything. And see, we don't trust His word, but when we give back His word by confessing His word, He's going to back up
right.
His word through the angels that are waiting to hear some commands. So either you're going to send angels out or you're going to send demons out.
Right. Yeah.
They're both waiting.
They both are listening. They both are listening. Demonic forces are listening. And when you start saying stupid stuff, they'll go to work to make sure it comes to pass. Now, this sounds like superstitious, you know, but it's not. Now, think about this now, because this just came to me as we were going through this. When you say the word psychologist, you're talking about the psyche, the mind. So you are restricting yourself to the thinking of man when you talk about my psychologist says, psychiatric. It's all psyche is tied to the mind.
That's right.
God wants to do something that you can't even think. He wants to go beyond what you're thinking, what you ask or think. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in you. So we have to not just use our psyche. You're using one part. Because we are body, soul, and spirit. Soul is the mind, will, emotion, and imagination and intellect. So we're body, you live in a body, you know that ain't gonna last. Y'all look like it's gonna last for a while, I'll give it to you. But you know that ain't gonna last forever. Soul is your mind, will, and emotion, but that is the mind. We can't start worshiping our brain, worshiping our knowledge, because in the last days, the Bible says knowledge will increase, but knowledge also puffs up. That's why I don't care how many degrees you got. You need this. I don't care who you know or what you know. Or what. I don't care. You may have your own Google. I don't care. You still need to know this.
I could think about different things over our lives. And we were talking about this not too long ago. And I said, I am so amazed. I'm just so, God is so awesome. Because, you know, there's things we have believed for. And we didn't know how it was going to, you know, happen. And after a while, you get to the point where you don't even try to figure it out.
Right.
You don't even. And
that's
God always comes around another way
that you
don't even know.
That's
you
true.
Know, it's like, gosh, God, you're so awesome.
Yes.
Now, how did you think of that? I mean, and it's just, he has amazed me so many times
yes.
of how he'll just answer a prayer. And you're thinking one thing, he comes around a whole different way, and he just takes care of it. He's so awesome.
Yeah,
I'm really,
is.
When
he
you
is.
Trust the Lord, he is really awesome.
Now, watch as we go through this. We're not going to be able to finish it today, but this Romans chapter 1 is very interesting. Because you will see as these people cast off God and worship their minds and their imagination, because I wrote the book, Casting Down Imaginations, Take Control of Your Thoughts, and, you know, The Power in You. So they do relate. But anyhow, people will cast off God. Watch what happens to them. Because I'm telling you, if you're just going to turn on to just the mind, see, you need to believe God beyond your education. Every job you apply for, you may not be educated for. So what? If God's leading you to go into that position, God will give you favor and then get you trained in the first, along with it. And that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about on Saturday with our future aviators kids. Because the FAA, they don't care who you are. They just want to hire you. And they will train you. They'll pay for your training for 2-3 years. They'll pay for it. They'll send you to school, keep paying for your training. And then as soon as you graduate, they'll give you a big bonus and a whole lot of money in addition to already paying for all your stuff to get there. See, and we limit ourselves. Well, I don't know that. So what? If God's giving you an inspiration or an unction to be able to do different things, you need to step out and do them. And some of those, that's concerning even starting a business. I don't know how to start a business. Nobody in my family ever had a business. Be the first one. Be the first one. Well, I don't know how to be a billionaire, a millionaire. I don't know how to make all that money. Well, be the first one in your family that has a bunch of money. There's a lot of things we don't know, but that doesn't stop God because he's not working off of your or my knowledge. It's not just what we know. So I want to make sure we get that because that suppresses, look at verse number 18 again, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That suppresses God's ability. When we disqualify God, Ephesians 3:20, put it up there if you could, please. Thank you very much. Ephesians 3:20, watch this now. It says, God, now unto him who is able, now unto him who is able, now unto him who is able. Who is able? It's God. Now to him, let's go to the King James Version, a little more poetic. It says, now unto him that is able. God is able. Now, there's no disqualifier here. This able is for anything. And this was the premise of The Power in You, the book that I wrote, Power in You. Now unto him that is able, he's able. Who disables God? We do. We put him in a wheelchair. And in one place, God says, are my arms too short?
Yeah, that's true.
I can't reach out and take care of you?
That's true.
You know, am I in a wheelchair and I can't make it up the stairs to help you in your house? See, we disable God. We should think bigger. Oh, yeah, God's telling me to tell you. Y'all need to think bigger going to this church. Every one of you. And some of you grew up very shallow, very small, very, very guarded, where you can't do all that. Even though we work around heathens that do all that.
And it says, he goes beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. So we need to dream.
That's right.
Think big and
think
dream
big. Dream big.
Hope
and
big.
And I dare say,
hope big.
All of us need to expand our thinking. Because you know what happens?
Our prayers should be bigger.
We start resting on our laurels, whatever those are. But we start resting on, well, look at how much I got now. God knows I'm something. Look at me now. Well, God, you haven't seen anything compared to what God wants to do with you. I'm trying to stretch you. I'm trying to get some of y'all to be a little more of a risk taker in the Lord. Not with, you know, drinking and driving, but I'm talking about in the Lord. Be more of a risk taker. Believe God for greater. See God doing more. You're not supposed to be everybody's doormat.
That's because the Lord's put in my heart. That's because we think, I think I said this last week, we think me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
We just think selfish thoughts.
To me.
How can I, me. Mm. How can I get ahead? How about getting ahead because you got other people you want to help get ahead?
To me.
How about I need that position right there so I can, you know, get some Christians in this place. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And so
to
we
me,
think so much. Go ahead.
To me, I think the problem is that we think instead of just believe. You're trying to think through this thing. Forget about thinking through it. If God's word says it, if he tells you to do it, and you know you're hearing from the Holy Spirit and not your pizza last night, if God's telling you what to do, why do you have to think about it? Just like what you read, and we're training our leaders concerning the man that we're studying his book. What's his name? I can't remember. Anyhow, what's his name?
Buddy Bell.
Who trains, helps ministry workers in churches. And he says in the book, if the pastor comes to ask you to do something, why do you have to tell him, I got to go pray about that? Because you're saying the pastor don't hear from God. And I, for me personally, we don't run this church by some denomination sending me an email or text. We ain't got no denomination. The Holy Spirit is the one that tells us what to do. And he says in his book, hey, listen, buddy, if the Lord is speaking to the pastor to be able to have you to do so and so, why do you have to pray about it? Now you can. But see, that's like you don't trust the man of God to be hearing from God. But everything you see happen in that ministry is coming from God. If they're following the Lord. Now, not everybody is doing that. Not every minister is doing that. They're not even following the word. Forget following the Holy Spirit. Some of them don't even have the leading of the Holy Spirit. They are on a job for 2 years, and then their denomination is going to move them because they don't want them to stay too long to get too much of a following, because then the denomination can't control that church. So every 2 years or 3 years, they move that pastor because he's getting to know these people too well, and perhaps they won't like the denomination, but they'll like the pastor, and then you know, the denomination's
really,
in trouble.
I'm going to say this, and it may stir up some feathers, but so what? You find it in the Bible and bring it to me. Denominations are man-made. That's just the truth. I didn't hear a lot of amens, but that's all right. And it just, it causes
division. It doesn't say
division.
They're not Christians or preachers.
I didn't say they're not Christian.
Whatever.
I didn't say they didn't
but
love Jesus.
Organizations.
I'm talking to organizations. You can't find Baptists in the Bible except John the Baptist. You can't find Church of God in Christ. You can't find Lutheran.
Methodist.
Unless Luke. You can't find Methodist in the Bible. And that's why even the Methodist.
You can't even find Catholic.
That's why even the Methodist Church. They
Southern
had a,
Baptist.
That's why even the Methodist
Christian
Church,
Minister
they had a big old vote. Remember, they broke up. Mm-hmm. Some of them moved out
Church
because they had a,
all of these denominations, you can't find none of them in there. Yeah. So,
it's man-made. Once again, it's not saying that they don't love Jesus. They don't love
because
we were part of a Baptist church, and I love Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, I love God. There was a lot of people there that I personally knew, and some of my folks that was over me, you know, some of the women in the church, they loved the Lord. You know, they served him with all their heart. So it's not saying that they're not Christians or they don't love Jesus or they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not saying that. But the organization, like you put it, the organization of that is man-made, because you can't find it in the Bible. I'll tell you this, and you can help me out on this one. And this is history. Look it up. And I'll show you how deep this can be. Mm. The Assembly of God And Church of God in Christ.
And Church of God.
And was the Church of God too?
All three.
They were all one.
Right.
At one
Church
point.
Church of God or prophecy also.
Oh, was it? I didn't know that was included. Okay, so they were all once, been a year, but back in 1800s, I think it was, or something.
I can't
what,
remember. Yeah, it was 1800s.
But, yeah. And so anyway, because they had a really good documentary on this. And so what happened was, and I can speak of this because this is the part I heard and I can remember, is the Assembly of God and the Church of God in Christ, they, because the Assembly of God wouldn't allow a black man to come preach in their church. And so the, oh no, it was the Methodists, Methodism,
no,
that one.
Not.
But anyway.
It was the Church of God.
Yeah, it was, okay. And so anyway.
Church of God in Christ was founded in 1897.
Okay.
But we need to know this, okay? So God, this wasn't the original with Jesus, okay? So all of these organizations.
But they divided because they didn't, because they said, well, we're going to start our own denomination. That's how that denomination started, because of that history. And so, and I thought it was a Methodist too that went through this. That's what I can remember on that one documentary.
It's separate.
That I
it's
saw. Separate. Yeah, probably separate. So anyway, and that's how that denomination got started, because they said, well, you know, there's, and then, and his church start growing. Remember, I think you came in on the tail end of that, that.
No, I've already studied this. So.
Yeah. And they said, and it was one Caucasian man that start helping them, and the city got upset with him for helping this, as they call, black church, which is no such thing as a black church. But I don't know why people say that. I don't understand that. Why do they? Because I think, personally for me, I think they try to label us, you know? And I'm biracial, so I can talk about it. And so I think they just try to label and say, and put us sort of in the box, that's a black church, but they don't usually say that's a white church. But they always say that's a black church. Notice that when people are talking, they'll say that's a black church, oh, that black church, but they won't say that white church. To try to, try to alienate some people. And so it's deep. This stuff is deep. And so that's how that denomination got started.
Well, it was also tied to the Baptists. I don't want to go through all the church history stuff.
Yeah.
But it was also tied to the Baptists.
But this is important because it's not in the Bible. Denominations are not in the Bible. Because, see, when you say, because I can hear some people think, you know, Jesus, he sort of heard his disciples think and the Pharisees and
what
stuff. Because when you were saying, well, we're not a part of denomination and stuff, and so I don't have anybody. See, people start thinking, I'm going to dispel this right now. People start thinking, well, he's his own person. He can just do what he wants to do
so
in ministry.
Paul.
And stuff. No, but they're thinking from a negative standpoint. Well, then there's nobody monitoring you or watching you and stuff.
So was Paul.
And so that's why Dr. Price.
All right, y'all starting something now.
Yeah, that's why Dr. Price started his organization, because he wanted to get the churches that was under his covering all, and that's how he started Fick with him to start having his conference for all these ministers that wanted to. You know, that he allowed to be under his covering and stuff, because they didn't have a denomination.
Go with me to Galatians, chapter 1:15.
That's why all pastors,
1:15.
Even non-denominational, they should have someone that's been their father in the faith, because you should have someone that you're accountable to. Let me say it this way. All Christians should have someone accountable to.
That's right.
And that's why you should have a pastor. Because you, as a believer, should have someone you're accountable to. Because we are not an island by ourselves.
Right.
Okay? So we're in this together. Okay, so I just opened up a can of worms.
Right? Yeah, and I'm going to climb in it.
I thought you said you didn't want to talk about this.
Well, until you kept going. Okay.
Well,
let's
I'm
go,
just trying
let's
to
go
dispel
to,
something.
I told you to go to Galatians chapter 1:15.
Are you guys learning something?
Well, this you need to know this, too, because, you know, you sometimes you don't know what you're dealing with. It's not like it's going to change your salvation. You're saved.
Well,
and those people
God
are saved.
Told you, okay, this is up in my heart, to start your new breed.
Right.
Okay, because your grandfather, in fact, I have his church that he built and stuff. I was able to hang it now, so it's on the wall. And so he had two churches in Louisiana, and then your father had a church, you know, and stuff, and Baptist church. So we have a Baptist background. Plus, I have a Pentecostal background.
We saw that.
You guys
Sunday.
Saw that Sunday. We had. You know how you go to parties? They have the after party. The Lord said, call it an after praise. So we had an after praise. So some of you guys left too early.
Let's not start a denomination over there.
Some of you left too early. We had a good time praising the Lord. Sometimes we have to dance like David danced. He danced his clothes off. And so we weren't going to dance our clothes off. But anyway, because we know why we're praising the Lord. God has been good to us, people. We don't have to be quiet. We need to shout.
Amen.
About it. And that's so anyway, funny. We had a good time. So we had an after praise.
Okay. Let me just read this because this is important for you to know. It says, but this is Paul. Now, you have to understand when Paul was called, Paul went to the desert and stayed in the desert many years, over 10 years. He stayed in the desert by himself to be able to be trained by God, by the Holy Spirit. He didn't go to seminary. He had already known all of the ways of the Pharisees. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. So he understood the Jewish law. Now God took him into the desert, a desert place. And many times when people are called to the ministry, God will give them a desert experience where he's really just speaking to them and giving them instructions. Well, he did that. Then he came out of that and he talked to the people here in the book of Galatians, and he started explaining to them concerning this in verse number 18 and verse number 15. It says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, because he was called, even though he was Jew, he was called to preach actually to the non-Jews. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. I ain't talked to nobody. I didn't have a denomination. I didn't have anybody over me. When God came to me and called me, I ain't talked to nobody. You gotta understand this, because this is counter to what we think, that people go to seminary or cemetery, as I like to call it, to be able to become a preacher. No, you go to the Holy Spirit to be able to find out what God's got you to do.
And you can go to that to further that call, or
of
to
course.
Enhance that calling. I like
right.
to say it like
so.
That.
God has to call you first to the ministry. After you are called, you need to sit for a while and find out what is it that God's called you to do. Because there's five folds in the ministry, if it's part of the ministry: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Which one are you? What are you supposed to be doing? What's your assignment? And see, sometimes people get called, they just run. You got to sit. This man sat here, and he wrote most of the New Testament. He sat here for years. Now it says, he said, but when it pleased God who separated me. So don't get mad at me because I'm called and you're not, or whatever it is. It's God that called me, who separated me from my mother's womb. This happened before I was born. I was called. He called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. The denomination didn't just look at me and say I look like a preacher and then send me through their school. I was called of God. You got to be called of God. If you're not called of God, it's nice to be able to want to be a preacher, but you can't want to be a preacher. You need to be called to be that. Who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. I didn't even get on the job training from apostles. I didn't want to be affected by nobody. You see, when God really calls you, if he really called you, people will know. You ain't got to go print some business cards. People will know what you're supposed to do. He said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I ain't fool with nobody. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia. That's the desert. And returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. So he's trying not to have people affect him in his calling. And a lot of people, what they do is they find out what Reverend Dr. So-and-so says about this, that. Now, you need a covering. You need a pastor. Everybody needs a pastor. Even the pastor needs a pastor. You got to have somebody to submit to. And the pastor is submitting to God, but he's got somebody he's submitted to. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, concerning the things you write to me, indeed, before God, I lie not. Afterward, I went up to the region of Syria and Cilicia, and I was known by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Now, look at the years, 3 years just before he saw Peter. It's in another place, and I'm not going to go there, where I believe it's 13 years he was in Arabia. I mean, he took time to really find out, God, what would you have me to do? This thing takes time. Because this is the calling of God on your life. Now go with me to Acts chapter 13. Once you are called, you need to sit there and wait till somebody sends you out. And the somebody that sends you out should be the church leaders. Some were sent and some just went. I've said this for 38 years, 39 almost. Okay, so Acts chapter 13. Now, this is church history and churchology. I mean, this is how the church is supposed to operate. Verse number one. Let's look at verse number one, Acts chapter 13, please. Can we go there? Acts chapter 13, 1, okay? Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch. Antioch was the first place that they called Christians. That's where the name came from, Christian, Christ-like, was in Antioch. So there was at the church in Antioch, where the first place that we were called Christians, certain underlying prophets and teachers. Prophet, teacher.
Inspired interpreters of the will and purposes of God.
Okay.
So it's not some weird.
See, it's not some weird thing. There were prophets and teachers. Well, who were they? It names them. Barnabas. Ever heard of him? Barney was there. Simeon, who was called Niger. He was from Nigeria. Lucius, so he was an African. Lucius of Cyrene. Cyrene is in Africa. Manian, who had been brought up by Herod the Tetrarch. And Saul, we know him as Paul. As they ministered to the Lord, as they, the whole group, ministered to the Lord, Paul is already called. Remember, he went and then he just finally met all these people. Now he's in the church and there's four leaders here. These are the four leaders, prophets and teachers. And as they were praying, probably having midnight prayer and praise, the Holy Spirit said, not the denomination, the Holy Spirit said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to. Now, they were already called, but now he's called them to a work. And the group was told, separate them, send them out, because you don't go by yourself. Some are sent, some just went. It said, separate unto me those which I have called to, for the work that I've called them to. Then, having prayed and fasted, they laid hands on them and sent them away. So, whoever is doing whatever in ministry is supposed to have folks over them. This don't make sense to some of y'all. Because, you know, it's ministry kind of stuff. You ain't really give a rip anyhow. And that's okay, because it's not your calling. But to see people that just do this on their own is crazy. You need to be sent out. You got to be sent out. And you're not sent out by these people. The Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said. I know there's a pastor that's pastoring in St. Louis. Used to be one of Dr. Price's ABs. Actually, he is a policeman from Los Angeles that worked with Dr. Price. And he was a former policeman with the LAPD. Actually worked Vice. And he kept telling Pastor Price, I got to start this church. I got to start this church. Dr. Price kept telling him, stay. Don't go yet. Stay. Don't go yet. Stay. Don't go yet. Stay. Don't go yet. He was on the board of Fick Wiffen with us. Stay. Don't go yet. And then the guy was like, I got to go. Pastor Price said, go. Fine. Goodbye. Okay, go ahead. You know. Okay, go. He went, his wife and him, she started messing around with a football player and left him. He lost his building. The church went nowhere. He married some other woman, which you could see this was not supposed to be God. Just a total situation that was ungodly, unnecessary. He's a nice man, very nice man, but he just had to go. He just had to go, had to go. I'm trying to say to us, don't do nothing till the Holy Spirit is screaming at you. One flight is all I need, but it ain't happening, to do on my own. One driving down the street is all we need to do, any of us, when we shouldn't be going down that street and somebody is coming the wrong way or whatever. God needs to guide us on everything now. Everything. There was a guy following, I watch people that's following me. There was a guy following me so close, and he kept, you know, I got a Mercedes, I'm gone, okay? That sucker picks up and goes. I mean, he's got some torque on those back wheels, and we're gone. Well, he kept tailing me. I changed lanes, get off the freeway. He's behind me. Take a left. He's behind me. Getting ready. I just swung around and went into a store. He took off down the other way. But he got mad because I had passed him in his pickup truck. All I'm saying is that you don't know what you're dealing with. We need to be guided by God on everything we do. So is everybody that's doing what they're doing, whatever they do, are they not hearing from God? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying God needs to be screaming at you, especially for serious things like this. I'll put marriage in it too. Before you marry that dude or marry that guy, that girl, marry that guy, marry that girl, whatever. I hope it's a guy and you're a girl, and you're a guy. But before you get married, man, I'd be pleading with God. Is this the right one? Is this the right one? You can't lie to me, God. Tell me if this is the right one. Because if you marry the wrong one, you will know that after a period of time. So I'm saying to you, you started saying about the ministry.
I was talking to denominations.
I know. Because some denominations just went. They weren't sent. That doesn't mean they don't have a 500,000 people, or for the Kojiks, for example, got 5 million people going to the churches, or the Southern Baptists, which had to admit that they were prejudiced. I got born again in a Southern Baptist. That's another thing. The Baptist church we went to did not get people born again. I wouldn't be saved right now if I kept going to that church. They did not have altar calls. But they had a convention that they were tied to with the Southern Baptists, even though they were African-American. And the Southern Baptists, back in the 1990s, admitted and asked for forgiveness for being prejudiced for all of those years against black people, because it comes, was it 1980s? Well, I was on KVI at the time. Okay, well, anyhow, okay. Anyhow, when they confessed, yeah. That they were prejudiced. Now, I got born again at the age of 12 in 1967 from the Southern Baptist, because the Baptist church that I was going to, which was a black church, was a mission church to the Southern Baptist church. And so that denomination has a convention every year. It used to be in Glorieta, New Mexico, which is where I went to. There was no 12-year-olds to go to represent our youth, and they had me to go. I went down there. I got born again because the Southern Baptists had an altar call. A lot of people go to church and they'll never get born again. They just go to church.
That's true.
They never get born again. They don't even know what born again means. Yeah. They've never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. What you and I need to know is that we should be thankful to God for how he has guided our lives. We should just say, thank you, Lord, for being in my life. This girl was born again by reading a pamphlet, walking from Clover Park High School to her house, and called the number on there, which happened to be the pastor of the the church on 6th Avenue and Division here in Tacoma, right off the end of Sprague, and they took her to the church and got her born again. The Baptist church that she went to wouldn't have got her born again because they didn't get people born again. They didn't, that just wasn't it. We are thankful to God. She got born again by somebody other than her own church. I got born again by someone. I had to go to Glorieta, New Mexico to get born again. That's how I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Because I'd be still at that church on the east side of Tacoma,
and then I did,
unsaved.
I got born again at that church, and then I did actually get baptized at my Baptist church.
That's right.
Yep.
They would baptize you, but they wouldn't get you born again.
That was one of the calls.
Right.
Water baptism.
Right.
So they did make that kind of call.
Now, this is important. For who?
I know it's pretty deep.
No, it is, but it's important for maybe people that you know that need Jesus, but go to church.
Or they question why you go to a non-denominational, not a Baptist church or whatever.
You can go wherever you want, wherever God is leading you to go. And I'm not saying everybody going to those denominations.
No, I'm saying they question the non-denominational people and say, why you go to a church? That's not a denomination at all. I'm just saying that people can question you on something.
The reason we are non-denominational, even though we grew up Baptist-costal, okay, Baptist and Pentecostal, basically. We hung around with the Kojiks most of the time, singing in their choirs and all that kind of stuff. The reason that we have the church that we have is because God, when he called me, he said, I have called you to the ministry. You will be a new breed. You will not go the way of your father and grandfather. And so that's why we are a ministry of excellence and integrity, because I am not to be as we were with the Baptist Church with the standards that they have. We have to have higher standards.
Now, it's not like we're perfect as a non-denominational.
I'm just fulfilling what God called me to do.
No, I'm saying, but as a non-denominational, because
problems,
a lot
too.
Of non-denominational churches start getting into weird stuff back in the charismatic movement.
That's true.
And stuff, and so
money,
sex,
stupid stuff, just like the
really,
rest of
us. Yeah, so
because flesh is flesh.
Yeah, yeah. So don't get hung up on that. Get hung up on having a relationship.
I'm so
with
glad
Jesus
you all
Christ.
Came to ministry training school tonight.
Yeah, we got a little deep in this.
But I want you to understand that, because some of you in this room may have a calling on your life. First of all, the calling.
No, some of you don't.
If God has called
really
you to the ministry, it'll never go away. You ain't no sense in running. You can't run from the Lord. If he's called you to the ministry, you are called to the ministry. And you don't have to ask anybody, am I called? You will know. Nobody has to tell you you're called to the ministry. Nobody will have to tell you, you need to go to ministry school. You will know that you need to spend time with God if you're called to the ministry. And if you're trying to run from it, you're just wasting your time, because God's best days are in your calling. You will enjoy life much more fulfilling the will of God in your life. And I don't care who you are, what you are, what you do, where you come from, whatever. God calls all kinds of people with all kinds of different areas of ministry. So you should enjoy it.
I do have to say this because it's in my heart. So I'm going to just pretend, let's just say you move away from Washington State. You really need to find out what kind of church that is. Don't assume because they don't have Baptists up there. They have St. John
Bible
Christian
church.
Center or something. They may be a Baptist church. And you should find out what kind of church you're really involved with, because the Lord's putting in my heart, and I have to say this, because different denominations have different creeds. Like we used to have to say stuff.
Yeah, we had a creed that we had to.
Yeah, and there's certain things that they believe in. Okay, so there's some Methodists now. There's a church right down the street now that have their rainbow flag, their trans flag now, a Methodist church. And so you need to know what they believe. That's important. I know, you guys, see, and that's what I'm saying. and some Christians, some people don't care, they just don't care.
Well, God cares.
But God does care, because you can go to the wrong church and start believing stuff that they believe, like, for instance, I'm just using that as an example, and think it's okay because, hey, this is a church. It's a church. They do pray. They say they believe in God. But if they believe in that lifestyle, they're not of God. Because you're going against God's word. And then it goes back to the scripture we just taught.
Suppressing the truth.
Suppressing the truth.
Let's go back to that.
And we'll okay.
Go back to
let's read that. Just
Romans
read
chapter
it again.
1 and verse number, I believe it's 19.
Yeah, read
Come
that.
Come on, let's quickly, let's close this up, because there's a reason we're saying all this.
I know.
Because there are those
we did not,
in churches that suppress the truth.
Because we did not talk about, we don't talk about this. The Holy Spirit brought up all
Can
this.
We go to Romans 1 and 19? There we go. Okay, it's 18, actually. We never got anywhere past that. Let's go to 18. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, for Charles, I want you to read it. Go ahead. I'm going to say this real quick, though. Look at this word. They hold the truth in ungodliness. Or go to the New King James Version and see what it says. New King James?
For the...
Okay, suppress the truth in unrighteousness. A lot of folks can call themselves Christians and yet suppress the truth. You come to them, tell them, does God heal today? They'll say, no, healing went away with the disciples. There's no healing now. You just have to suffer for the Lord
and
go to the doctor. I believe in the doctor. I went to the doctor today. I'm doing fine. But anyhow, Charles, go ahead and read
the whole. Just read it in them or just read it on something.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Who suppressed the truth in unrighteousness.
See, we don't want
and
to suppress
women,
anything.
The Amplified says, who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative.
Okay. So, for one thing, you don't want to do that. Because that's why the wrath of God, the anger of God comes.
You can be seated. We're going to stop there.
The anger of God comes. I'm just trying to pound this in because I don't know when we're going to get to this subject again. I want to just pound that in. Okay, thank you, Charles. Appreciate it.
God, it's not a mistake that God had us to go in this area because we didn't talk about this today.
Nope. And we didn't talk about
it. And I believe the Holy Spirit brought up all this for us to talk about and to give you knowledge because my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but I like to have some knowledge. You know, I don't want to be ignorant of the word of God because
thing.
I was when I was 18.
Yeah.
I was ignorant of God's word.
Yeah.
And I got mad at God, which I should have got mad at the devil. But I didn't know about that evil force, the enemy that he was, you know, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
But,
I didn't know that.
The first tool that the enemy used in the garden was deception. And see, when you suppress the truth, you're deceiving people. Yeah, and see, I don't like people that hide the truth.
That's true.
Because that's what the devil does. He hides the truth until you get in trouble. And then, oh, surprise, this is what's really going on. God doesn't want you fooled. And in the last days, there will be those that will be deceiving and being deceived. This keeps coming to me, that it's deceiving and being deceived. You need to make sure your eyes are open. You need to be don't be afraid to go home and pray and say, God, is this really the guy for me? Lord, is this really the woman I should marry and forever, whatever, throw away the key? I mean, is this it? Or am I being deceived? I tell you what you do. Go home tonight and ask God, is this the church I'm supposed to be going to? I hope you do, because if you ain't supposed to be here, sayonara. Adios to the most, okay? Because I only want those that know they're supposed to be here. If you got a doubt in your heart about this being your church, you need to go ask the Holy Spirit. Just like Paul went into the desert for 13 years, I believe it was, or 14, and heard from the Spirit of God, and then he came and talked to Peter. After 3 years of waiting around him, went to talk to Peter because he didn't want to be influenced by anybody. He wanted his calling to be pure. And that's why he could write most of the New Testament. Because his calling was pure. He didn't let people affect him. And sometimes we can do things because we got pressure from people. And I'm not having pressure from nobody. We need to just do what God would have us to do in the timing that he gives us to do it. Say amen to that. All right, I rest my case. Attorney Shorter is done, okay? So what we want to do is we want to thank God tonight because we live in righteousness. We live in the truth. We're not going to be deceived. We're not going to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Say amen to that. You had something that you wrote down.
No, I was just saying, and so that's why I'm a strong believer because back in the charismatic movement, I know you guys probably don't really care about all this. I like it right. And so people start changing their names.
Oh, the church names.
I believe if you're a Baptist church, you should put St. John Baptist Church. I believe if you're a Methodist church, you should be, this is a Methodist church. Because I believe you shouldn't deceive people. You should let them know who you are, if that's what you are, you know, and not try to come off like you're a non-denominational church. Because, see, back in the charismatic movement, like I said, you guys probably don't even care about this. People were leaving a lot of denominational church. And maybe there's somebody that's going to hear this on a podcast, good or whatever. They were leaving denominational churches and flocking to non-denominational churches. And that's why those non-denominational churches back in the 80s, they grew overnight. Even Dr. Price, they grew overnight.
He had a line going around
the building.
They were like
5,000, 6,000, 10. I mean, the people grew because they were leaving the denominational churches. So a lot of denominational churches start changing their name to Christian Center. That's where Christian Center came in the 1980s through the charismatic
70s,
yeah, whatever, in movement. And I just believe we should be who we, if we're a church, we should let people know we're a Baptist church. And that's why I just recently asked our social media people that's working on social media, I said, start making sure it's clear. Put non-denominational church on everything we do under our name so people can know we're not a part of a denomination. Now, if we were, we should put that on there.
I want to be there.
Okay. And if God would have told you to do that, he would have told you to do that.
I was going to take over my father's
church. I'm glad
church,
he didn't.
Which is a Baptist church.
Yeah, but I'm
but
glad
my father
he didn't.
Was not in agreement with that. And but, so I but, took okay. over but, this church. I started this because but, this is what God wanted me to do. And, so
but you, we didn't come out of your dad's
no,
church. God
not.
Had us
we
traveling for years. We were like Paul in the desert. God had us training different ministries and everything. We was traveling.
So I'm just saying, I didn't see nothing wrong with the Baptist church. That's all I'm saying. Is that I didn't see nothing wrong with the Baptist church, but I was sort of ignorant back then also with what was going on. But, you know,
what,
you
what
be who you
our
are.
Our Baptist church believed.
And I hope
it
you're
was
being
wrong,
who you
some
are.
Of this
are
stuff.
You being who you are? Yeah. Okay. Father, we thank you for this word we received tonight. In Jesus' name, call the blessings of God upon your people. God, for those that needed this, for anyone that needed to hear about this, and to be able to understand, perhaps it's for their future. I pray, God, that they, you know, well, we've been able to speak clearly so that they can use this information in the future. We call it done in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen.